You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, church. So looking forward to bringing this word to you today. Kids, this is a word for you too. So I want to encourage you, sit up in your seats, pay attention. There are some things that are going to come on stage, some visual props. I get asked for tricks, but no tricks today. Just visual props today. Got a bag full of them. So we are going to have a good time. And at the end, the visual props that I've got, I don't want to take home. So I would love for some of the kids, potentially, to take home the props that I've got. Maybe an adult might want one, I don't know. It's a possibility. But be encouraged, church. Be encouraged, kids. You are part of a family. You are part of a family. Doesn't matter your origin story in the natural. Doesn't matter if your parents are alive or not alive. Doesn't matter if you've got kids or no kids. Doesn't matter if you're single or married. Doesn't matter if you've got grandchildren or grandparents. You're part of a family. You're part of this family. And because you're part of a family, today we get to join together as a family. This message is for you, where you're at in your personal family and where this church is at in the family of God. This is a word that has been burning in my heart to bring to you. Kids, there's a memory verse we have out in Gateway Kids at the moment. Does anyone know it? I know one of the kids does. I can't see her. I've got the wrong glasses on. I either see this or that. And can't do both yet. The eyes are going. I'm getting older. But that's okay. We have a memory verse. It says, don't let anyone make fun of you just because you are young. Set an example for other followers by what you say and do. You see, children, you have a responsibility in your family. It's not up to your parents. It's up to you. We get to make those choices. The choices you make in your family leave the legacy for the family to come. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded also now lives in you. See, it's generational family moments. You can leave a legacy for your family. Today, you get to choose what legacy you want to leave. Now, I just want to play a quick little 30-second video about families and faith.
In my family, which is composed of my nephews and nieces, we bring together our friends who are not even Christians and exchange gifts and celebrate together. We have a lot of fun as we express the love of Christ to them. We are a family on a mission.
We are a family on a mission of faith to see the unseen seen. You know, you might not feel part of this family, but let me tell you, God has made you part of this family. You know, when you join together, your family expands. 34 years ago, I married my wife. My family expanded. I joined her family. She joined mine. Last year, two of my daughters got married. There were new additions into my family. See, family is brought in by relationship. Family is brought in by relationship. We get to have that through God. We had communion. He brought us into his family. We had communion. That's what it's all about. He brings us in to that space. And today's message is from Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. How does this apply to your family? How does this apply to our church? Well, the first thing we need to know is there's an order of operations here. Now, kids at school might be learning about this thing called BODMAS. No, it doesn't like BODMAS, but she knows what it is. See, it's an order of operations. And when you do mathematics, you'd have to follow the order of operations to get the correct answer. This scripture has an order of operations. If we don't follow the correct order of operations, we may not get the right answer. We may not end up in the right place or the right space. In mathematics, if you have a sum that reads like this, 2 times 3 plus 8 divided by 2 minus 1 equals, and I don't think we've got it on the screen, but if you do the maths in the wrong method and just work from left to right, 2 times 3 equals 6 plus 8 is 14 divided by 2 is 7 minus 1 is 6. Incorrect. Incorrect. Because the correct order is do the 2 times 3 is 6. Do the 8 divided by 2, which is 4. And so you've got 6 plus 4, which is 10, minus 1, which is 9. That's the correct answer. You see, we need to follow this scripture. And I use that so that we follow the right scripture in the right order. So let's read the scripture again. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, and do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. First thing is we need to expand the place of our tent. Now I have a square drawn on the stage here because I have my tent. See? I have my tent, and my tent should fit in my square. How nice is that? It's almost like it was made for it. You see, but if I want to expand the place of my tent, I need more ground. Because if I wanted a bigger tent, I would need more space around this. I can't just take that tent. If I was given this, if this was my place where my tent went, and I tried to put my tent in it, it doesn't fit. You see, you need to have the right space. Now, when I got saved, I had to not only find and expand the place of my tent, but I had to find the right ground. You see, some of you might not know Jesus yet, and your tent might be here, and that's okay. Some of us are Christians, and our tent is here, and that's okay. But when we expand the place of our tent, are we just going to get more area around where we are? Or does God want us to move to something else? See, when I was saved, where I was living was where I was, but God wanted me to move from that place to new ground, to a completely different space. That was my first step of expanding my ground for my tent, for my family. The ground needs to be the right place. You don't put a tent on top of a lake just because you like the water. You put the tent where it needs to go. We need to seek after God in our families to expand the ground in the right places. Lot took his family to what looked good. But you see, we need to follow after the right places. So first thing is we need bigger ground. The second thing is we need to make our tent bigger. So Tim, could you just go and get my new tent? Because my new tent wouldn't pop up. But I have a bigger tent because once we've got the right ground, you see, we need to get rid of the little tent or we need to expand to a bigger tent. It's not as easy as that. See, life isn't always easy. But we have a bigger tent. See, I've got two things to give away already. How good is that? See, we put the tent in the right place. Now, this tent also doesn't fit here. See, we need to make our tent bigger. Our tent gets bigger to fill the land that we're taking. We don't want to take more ground and leave it unoccupied and uncovered. We need to expand the tent. We can't be just saying, oh, I'm happy in this little one. No, God has called us for bigger things this year. He has called us to take new ground. He has called us to build a new tent. He is calling us to stretch those curtains wide so that in our families we see expansion. Imagine this was me and Christine when we first got married and we were just happy in here. This was the size of our tent. Imagine me trying to fit four kids in there. Right? I think I'd struggle in there, but hey, I got more chance because you see, as your family expands, you need more room to bring the people into. See, as we come to Easter, Pastor Lee's already said, we want to see this place filled. You see, as it fills, we're going to need to expand so that we can fit more people in and bring the covering over people. We are believing for things that we haven't seen before. We want to see the unseen happen in your life and my life and this church's life. We need more of the Holy Spirit within us. Our tent needs to get larger to allow us to bring more people in. There's a circus down the highway. It's on our block of land. Imagine trying to run a circus inside of that. It's not going to happen. It would be funny, but it won't happen. You see, you need to take the space and the room to expand that tent, to fill the land that God is calling us to take. And this isn't a one-off exercise, church. We don't just get there and go, I'm in my big tent now. I've moved. I'm all good. This is a continuing process to keep expanding and looking where we are. Are we in the right land? Are we looking for new ground to take? Do we just expand around us or are we looking for new spaces? Is this church looking for a new space for a new campus? Is this church looking to expand into other areas? What is it that God has called this place to do? Your family. Where is your family? What spaces does God want your family to be in? What space, kids, do you want your family to be in? Where's the new ground that you need and where do you need to expand the covering upon your family? Holy Spirit covering. The third thing is don't hold back. See, church, families, kids, don't be limited by what you think the capacity is. We heard large vision. We heard large vision. Building a new space for the kids at church. We heard that large vision. You might sit there and go, I can't see how that's going to happen. Don't be held back by that thinking. Don't allow that kind of thinking to creep in. If God said it, He will make a way for it to outwork. If He is calling you to a larger space and a large tent, don't hold back just because you can't see how it's going to outwork. You need to be thinking about something bigger than what is just there. Don't be limited in what you're thinking and believing for your family. Don't be limited in thinking, oh, that person out there is too hard for God to save. Because let me tell you, no one is too far from the arm of God. No one is too far from the salvation plan of God. He said He came that not one should perish. His heart is for all. So should ours be. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His person. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me in inner strength and confident peace. Wow. Wow. If that's what God says about me, let me not limit how my thinking works. Let me not hold back when He calls me out to take that step of faith. Let me step into it. Ephesians 3:20. Now, all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could think or ask. Or how about the feeding of the 5,000? feeding of 5,000. Oh, but we've only got a little bit of food. No, don't hold back. That little boy, he didn't hold back some of that food. He gave it all. You see, what about the day of Pentecost? The power of Holy Spirit fell. There was no holding back. No holding back. Kids, don't hold back. Remember your memory verse. Don't let anyone make fun of you just because you are young. Set an example for other followers for what you do and say. You see, we don't want to hold back in what we're doing. We need to get a bigger tent. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to stop. Uh-oh. It's not quite sitting properly, but doesn't matter. It's because I probably didn't fold it up properly after I tested it the first time. But you see, we don't want to be limited in our thinking. We don't want to just think, well, that's enough for me. We want to get bigger. We need more. We don't want to hold back anything. In our church, in our families, we can't afford to be held back. People's eternity is at stake. In your families, you can't afford to let anything hold you back. Let God be the lead. Commit to everything. In our church, let God be the lead. And let's commit to outworking. Point four, lengthen and strengthen the cords. This verse is what often gets mentioned the most in this passage of Scripture. Lengthening and strengthening of the cords. What does this mean for you in your family? What does it mean for you as you get bigger tents, as you get more space? Well, see, here's my little cord. Here's my little cord that I've got. And if I had this little cord, I could probably tie this tent down to the kitchen table, right? But it's probably not big enough to hold that one down. So not only do we need to lengthen our cords so we get them longer, but we need them to be stronger as well. See, as we grow, as we've taken that space, if we don't lengthen and strengthen our cords, the tent is going to move from where it's supposed to be. So we need to lengthen and strengthen our cords. We need to get bigger cords. We need to get stronger stuff going on, right? Now, let me encourage you, church, families, kids, this is for you right now. Yeah. See, a lengthening and a strengthening of the cords. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Something that's often spoken about at weddings. But today, you are part of the cords. I cut a little piece of my big rope off because it has three cords. But you see, the cords are made up of cords. And the cords are made up of more cords. See, this little tiny strand here by itself is really, really weak. But you see, today in your family, you get a choice to weave yourself together and strengthen. As you weave yourself together, as you allow Holy Spirit to be woven in as well, as you weave yourself into the church family, if you're weak, weave yourself in. Weave yourself into the rope. The strength of God, the strength of the people will come in that moment. You see, in your family, if you want to grow bigger and strengthen your cords, then you need to weave yourselves together. The power of unity. In our church, when we make a declaration, we need to weave ourselves into that declaration. And as we weave ourselves in, we strengthen it. And it becomes stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. And you see, if I got three of those and wove them together, it would be even stronger. See, it doesn't stop. It's not in our own strength. It's in God's. And the last part, strengthen your stakes. See, a bigger tent needs bigger stakes. Little tent will be held down by little pegs. That'll do the job. Bigger tent needs bigger pegs. But you see, all the pegs go to the same place. Doesn't matter the size of the peg that you use. See, as you need bigger pegs, whoop, I don't think there's anything left in there anyway. We need bigger pegs, but they all go into the same place. See, our anchor is in Christ. Our firm foundation is the rock of Jesus. And we need these pegs and these secure footings for our lives, our families, and our church to be hammered deep into Him. I am not willing that anyone should be moved from where they're supposed to be called to go. We need to drive these things deeper into Christ to hold us in the firm foundation of who He is. As a church, we need that firm foundation. You see, if we have little pegs trying to hold a big vision, when the wind comes, it blows away. And it's gone and it moves from where it was supposed to be. And before you know it, you've got a cult on your hands. And we don't want that. We don't want that. Before you know it, your family has drifted far from Jesus and isn't going to church and you can't be bothered anymore. No, drive the pegs into Jesus. Drive those pegs deep into. As you get bigger, you need to make sure your footing is more secure in Him. Because that's the only thing that's going to hold us together when the tough times come. That's what we need to do as families. When you're in a turmoil at home, maybe you're the only Christian in your house and it feels like you're being buffeted from all sides. Drive that peg deeper into Jesus. Drive your stake further into Him. Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Or what about Matthew 7:24? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. You build, you put your foundations, we're putting our pegs. How do you do that in your house? How do you do that as a family? Well, you come to church. That makes your peg bigger. You praise, you worship. You read the Bible. You do Bible studies. You join connect groups. You go to kids' church. You pray privately and corporately. You fellowship with each other. You hold yourself accountable to the pastor. You study the Bible at home as a family. Bedtime prayer. You pray for your mum when she's sick. See, all those things drive your pegs and your foundation deeper into Christ. There's too many people that haven't driven the pegs deep into Jesus. But Paul, as he went through and he expanded his tent, as he expanded the ministry, he drove his pegs deeper into Jesus. He used that firm foundation. And the ministry that Paul left us in the Bible is there because of who he found in Christ, and he stayed secure in that moment. You can be that person too. On a practical sense, this is all done in a logical order. You see, you don't put your peg in the ground first, because you won't know where to put the peg until you've laid out the ropes. And you don't lay the ropes out until you've put the tent in its position. And you don't put the tent in its position until you've surveyed the ground and found the right ground. Let's do things in the right order, church. Maybe for you today, your first step is to move from a place where you don't know Jesus to a place where you do know him. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you will be saved. Maybe that's what you need to do today for your family. That first step, that response. Or maybe you've already made that space and you need to find new ground or larger ground this morning. I'm going to speak to each of you as individuals now. You can ask for a response in a moment. I'd love families to come and respond together. I'd love to be able to anoint families with oil and pray for you. And you might be sitting there and going, well, my family's not much. Doesn't matter if you're a grandparent, grandchild. Doesn't matter if you're a household of one, you have a family to come. Doesn't matter if you're married or single, doesn't matter what it is, you're part of a family, even if it's one to come. Your response now can change and bring a legacy for the future. Tim mentioned this in the prayer meeting as well. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
You know, it would be horrible of us to let you go and not have you get the opportunity to join God's family. Not allow you to have the opportunity to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be forgiven of your sins so that you can be known by God the Father. He loves you so much. This is the promise that God sent us. This is the promise that God gave us all. If you're in the foyer, don't let this moment pass you by. If you're in your seat, don't let this moment pass you by. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of asking Jesus to be Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to be known as a son and daughter of God. Amen. And I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer as well. This is your moment to step into the freedom that God has for you. Why don't we close our eyes? If that's you, pray this prayer. Church, why don't you join me? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised Jesus on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. From this moment, I turn from my ways and I choose to follow your ways. I thank you that I'm now known as son or daughter through Jesus. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.